In our culture, we learn through stories. But what if the stories we hear don't match the reality of life? What if the stories we hear every day that tell us how to write the narrative of our lives actually lead us to a false narrative? My name is Tim Kroll, and on this podcast, you will hear real stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Real people sharing the hard times, the bends in the roads along life's journey. If you're ready to join a community of other real people who are writing the narrative of their lives, then go to narrative.live and join the community. Now let's dive into today's show. And we've got another behind the scenes kind of a story. I know I love telling these narratives. I've known JC for, oh shoot, man, how long have we known each other? 5-6 years, I think it's been? Maybe yeah, 7? It's been,
I want to say it was probably 2019.
Yeah, it's been, now I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, wow, it's been a minute. So, I mean, that's good, and I really love that. But what I can say is I've never really dug in, and we've never talked about your past history and your stories of where you came from, all of that. And that's what this show is all about. So I'm really excited. Thank you for being here. I can't wait to jump into this. So, again, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure. I'm excited to be here, and hey, I might even learn a little more about myself while we talk. So,
honestly, so many people do. It's just amazing how this analytical type approach to our lives helps out not just us but everybody else. So, all right, let's jump into this aspect of you've got. We just meet in an elevator. You got 30 seconds. Who is JC?
Yeah, so JC Chinowski, serial entrepreneur in Wilmington, North Carolina. I've got a pretty large Navy background, 20 years in the military, running two semi-successful companies, a badass boyfriend to an amazing woman, Angela. I got two incredible warrior princess daughters, 12, about to be 12 in 2 weeks, and 14 in my life. I love traveling. I love adventuring and just really love pouring into people and helping out as much as I can in any aspect of life.
Yeah, and I knew that pouring into person, that I could have anticipated that was going to come up. And that's why we invited you, obviously, here, because our lives are not easy, right? And as we talk about some of the past and we talk about some of the things that we've gone through, we want to really just kind of draw that out and say, hey, these are ways and steps to be able to overcome things. So let's look at what you thought your life was going to be like, the beliefs or the actions or the formations as you were growing up, and whether that was something that was exemplified for you, something that somebody told you, this is how you have to live your life. What was that like before you actually stepped into what you would call this is the adult JC?
Yeah. So like most people, I've got a broken family, grew up in New York, and young JC or Jared back then, very tight-knit family. My mom's side of the family was Italian, straight from Italy. My grandfather was straight from Italy. My grandmother straight from Italy. So strong family culture. Every Sunday we did family dinners together growing up. I had 13 cousins and were very, very close with family. And then I remember, I think it was going to second grade, my parents moved to Florida and completely moved us away from all our family. So things were different. Second, third grade, I was down there, tried making a life for ourselves down there. Fifth grade, we moved to North Carolina. And I believe it was right around Christmas. My mom was like, hey, we're going to go to New York, and told my dad we're going to New York, see you for Christmas. And that was probably the last time I saw my dad for a while. Hmm. So I'd moved, spent about a year, maybe 2 years with my mom, ended up moving back down with my dad. And all this time, I was just kind of lost. I wasn't able to place myself in one area for so long. I had a real hard time making friends. I was picked on everywhere I went to. I was bullied. I was a small kid. Moved back to North Carolina, moved back to New York with my mom. And, looking back, I had a really great stepfather during that time as a young teenager. I had a different view on that because he wasn't like an emotional man in my life. I didn't get to see my father figure person I had in my life was my best friend Mike and his dad. He was there for me growing up all through high school, and I spent pretty much almost every weekend with those two or their family. So he was like my father figure. But looking back on things now, my stepfather, he may not have been the most emotional, loving type of person, but he was always there for us and wanted nothing but the best for us. But at that young age, I didn't view it that way. And now I can look back and I'm like, wow, he really did care about us a lot. So I had that.
How did you look at it from a kid's perspective? I mean, how did you see it?
Well, we talked about sports and that was it. And I hated sports. He loved football, the Jets and the Islanders. And he loved working. He worked a lot and he provided a lot for my sister and my mom and I. I mean, we went everywhere. We're in New York City almost every single weekend, going out, doing tours, going on vacations. And I wouldn't say he was trying to buy our love by no means, but he just wanted to be able to provide for us. And he had three older kids, like 10 years older than my sister and I at that time. So it wasn't like the I love you emotional, come give me a hug, come, you know, tell me about your day. It was like, let's talk about sports. I played football all through high school. I was the smallest kid in the team. Well, I mean, I rode that bench hard, but I still showed up every single day. And, you know, despite getting bullied and picked on, I was still there. And I was just real quiet. I really didn't have a whole lot of friends. I still won't say I have a whole lot of friends, especially close. I think more of my friends are spread across the United States through business, meeting at shows, and those types of friends are like more, I call close friends than I would anybody here locally.
Yeah.
Just because we can relate on a different level now, I guess.
Yeah. So as you're looking at that, there's a lot of things that just pop up there. Obviously one is a little bit distance with your real father. But then you have a great stepfather that steps in to be able to show love in the way that he knows how to show love. And then you also have a great relationship with your friend and his father. How did that impact the way that you saw yourself as a man and as you were going to step into that role? And now, like you said, you've got two warrior princess daughters. How did that impact you on how you were going to show up? Or let me put it this way. How did it impact you on how you thought you were going to show up? Not how you do now, but how you thought you were going to show up.
Yeah. And I want to add this because I didn't put this in. Like, you know, I wasn't close to my father growing up because he was in North Carolina. I was in New York and my mom just kind of kept us away for other reasons throughout the years. My father and I have the best relationship ever. I talk to my dad every single day. He's my best friend. He's my business partner. I just got done working with him on a job site. And, you know, I can't change the past, but I was so grateful for what we have now. And he's always there for me. Like, no matter what, anytime I call him, he's answering the phone and same for him. So it's been incredible last, 15 years. I guess, no, 25 years. I moved back down here 24 years in 2000. But yeah, I don't know. Again, it was very transactional with my stepfather, but my friend's father was just very close and he cared a lot and he wanted nothing but the best for his kids. He supported them in everything they did. My friend Mike was the best on the football team. They're great musicians. They still are great musicians. And unfortunately, he passed away and my stepfather passed away in the last 7 years, I think it's been. So that was kind of hard losing both of those guys. But again, they provided direction for me in life to know that, you know, I needed something stable because they both had great jobs, were able to provide. We were able to get whatever we needed through life. And Mike's dad was able to give them the best life, took us places too, and included me like I was one of their sons. So that helped understand the balance of, you know, being a good provider and showing up. Whether it's, you know, in the emotional aspect or just being there to be there for me as my stepfather.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you were able to reconnect with your dad again. I'm assuming that there was a shift or a circumstance or something that happened that gave you the ability. Did you seek that out to be able to reconnect with your dad, or was that something that kind of was happenstance? Or
no, it was more, you know, my mom and I, we had a difficult relationship growing up. Got in trouble a lot in the house. I wouldn't say I was really in trouble, but she, again, Italian background and liked to, you know, get upset at things and times. And freshman year in college, I went to a school that I shouldn't have been at for the wrong reasons. Way expensive. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't belong in college. I just wanted to go because I thought that's what everybody should be doing, is go to college. And getting kicked out. First time I was drinking, joined a fraternity, partied all the time. That was 2000, spring of 2000, summer 2000, I came home. I got kicked out of college. She said, get out of here. I went back to North Carolina 2000 and lived with my dad for a few years there. He was an entrepreneur his whole life. His father was an entrepreneur his whole life. But I never looked at them as entrepreneurs because that's all I knew they did. It just worked. So I never really thought of them as entrepreneurs. It's kind of funny. It wasn't until many years ago that I said, wow, my dad's been an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. My mom's father was an entrepreneur. And here I am, the entrepreneur.
It's in the blood.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I came back down here, went to school, worked with my dad during the day as carpenter. And, you know, just again, this is just the best relationship I could ever ask for with a father, the way we have is now.
So the situation that kind of spawned that was a little bit of difficult circumstances with the narrative. And this is what we always talk about, is the false narrative of, it sounds like you were following that false narrative, like, okay, I've got to go to school. I've got to get a degree. I've got to get a job. I've got to get, and then all of a sudden you find that that's not for you. And so therefore that false narrative is not living up to what it is that you want to do. Is that the start of that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I hate it for kids nowadays in school. And I don't say that college is not, you know, the worst thing you can do in life, but I want people to understand that there are options out there. Nobody was talking about that when I was younger in the 90s. It was, you got to go to school, you got to get a degree in order to have a successful job and make something out of yourself. So I just went on that and found out that's not the case. It was a very expensive mistake, but I learned a lot. And, you know, I ended up working with my dad. Again, I was just going nowhere fast. Like telling everybody, I was getting in a lot of trouble hanging out with the wrong people, partying a lot. And ended up moving to New York and stayed with my grandfather at the time in 2003, I believe it was, because I was going to get in a lot of trouble if I stayed where I was. I needed to get out. Went to New York for about 6 months and then came back down here, same lifestyle. And one day I woke up, I was hungover. I was probably, partied too hard the night before. And I said, I got to do something with myself. And it was 2003, December. And I went to the Army recruiter office and I said, I'm going to join the military. And I wanted nothing to do with the military, but I knew I had to do something. And the Army recruiter, I remember him just yelling, go Army, like as loud as you can, go Army. And I was like, no, I can't deal with this right now. So I went next door to the Navy. The Navy was like, oh, yeah, you're awesome. You're smart. And I was generally book smart for math. And they're like, oh, you're going to be a nuke in the Navy and blah, blah, blah. So I ended up joining the Navy and went to boot camp 3.5 months later after that.
Was that the beginning of the shift? It sounds like that might have been the start. I mean, you woke up in the morning and it was like, dude, I got to do something different because I'm going to die here, basically. Was that the beginning of the shift? Is that what started this whole, like, hey, I was living the life this way and then moving into a different direction?
Yeah, I had no direction. I mean, I was jumping from job to job, working 70, 80 hour weeks. But I was just, you know, just hustle, hustle, hustle. No purpose. I wasn't saving any money, spending everything. No leadership, none of that stuff. You know, again, broken family, didn't have father figure. So it was just whatever I could do, I did it. And if it wasn't for the Navy, I Lord knows where I'd be right now. But
yeah.
The second I got off that bus in Great Lakes, like something snapped in me. And within hours, like my instructors identified me as a leader of the class and like immediately assigned me to the class leader of being there. And here I am 2004. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 23 years old at that time. And it was just a weird shift in responsibility, leadership, and just, you know, now having to take care of somebody else besides me. 88 other guys were looking up to me to guide them through the next 2.5 months and be successful. So yeah, it was the best thing that I ever did for myself to get me in the right path of righteousness or life and just making a name for myself. And I really did. I enjoyed the Navy. I got really lucky, had a very successful career, made it very far in 12 years, as far as ranking up to chief petty officer, which is, you know, less than 10% of the Navy make it that far. Mm. So I found purpose. And I really
if you were to sum up what the narrative of your life prior to the Navy, prior to stepping into military, how would you sum up that narrative? How would you sum up the way that you lived your life?
Oh, reckless, like a free spirit, and just, you know, I cared about everybody, but I cared about myself to just get through whatever it was I was working on. You know, there was no motivation to find a career. There was no purpose to finish school. There was no ambition to, you know, make a name for myself, whether it was with a job or starting a career myself, entrepreneur world, like there was nothing. It was just show up and get through the day and get to the bar at night. So. Mm.
So, okay. So now we've made that shift. We made that transition. sure there's a lot of things you had to learn through that 12 years. I'm sure that there's several things. What would you say would be the biggest lesson that you learned, the biggest shift that you had throughout those 12 years in the Navy? I know you said it was like, boom, I snapped and something just snapped in me. But what were the other lessons that you were like, I need to implement this. I need to change that. I need to do this.
Yeah, I had some really incredible leaders in my Navy career. And I've done a lot of soul searching on that recently as I've been doing some speaking engagements out in the industry and looking back at my past and identifying those people that really impacted my my career and my life. And, you know, the biggest thing for them, the key traits or leadership qualities was, you know, showing up no matter what. You know, the Navy is not going to be, you know, as glorious as we want it to be all the time. And we had to do some stupid stuff and stupid tasks. I've been to some crazy places across the world, been blown up on an oil platform. You know, I've seen people pass away in front of me. And every time my leaders were there, they were there. They showed up. They didn't ask questions. They reacted the way they're supposed to. You know, we followed them. It didn't matter how stupid it was, how dangerous it was. We knew if they were leading the pack and leading the way, like we had to do it because there's a reason, there's a purpose behind it. And the way they communicated too, they treated us like humans, which was big because there's a lot of people in military and business that just can't communicate and it destroys them and it destroys their character. It destroys their businesses. I've seen people fail time and time again because they're just not effective communicators. So just learning to be able to communicate effectively because we all receive and give communication differently. So being able to adapt to different people, whether it's in a high stress situation or just showing up at the office, has been a big instrumental part in my success today, not only in the Navy, but as an entrepreneur and a business owner.
So what are you doing now? How do you live your life? And I wanted to take the most amount of time to focus on this because I think there's a lot of lessons that I've heard from you and some of the things that you've posted about. What are your practices? What are your habits? What are your routines that you now adapt? And this is how you are crafting your narrative. This is the legacy that you're going to leave behind. What are the things that are important to you?
Yeah. And, you know, so I started my business 2009 with my father, Pressure Washing, KPR Pro Wash. We had that while I was still active duty Navy. I was deployed. I was in New York. We were based out of North Carolina. And 2016, we started Patriot Illumination. Again, it was always just my father and I doing all the crazy stuff. I'd come up with a crazy idea and he'd had some solution because he's a thinker. I'm like, Dad, I got a crazy idea. He's like, he'd laugh at me and then he'd make it happen. So we managed to do it. But 2019, I remember calling Pat Clark. I knew I couldn't do it myself. I was doing it. I was showing up. I was, you know, full-time Navy, full-time pressure washer, full-time Christmas light installer. And so something had to change. So finally I talked to Pat, you know, did some great things in his business. And I really wanted to live that life. So he taught me how to do that. He became my coach in Conquer. I went to Sales Boost and I shifted my mentality and started implementing things I learned in the Navy about leadership, teamwork, communication, started hiring people. And, you know, I didn't play around. I didn't tiptoe into this game of entrepreneurship. Once we started hiring, we went all in. And from, you know, 2018, we did $330,000 with my dad, myself, and a part-time person. At the end of 2019, we did $550,000, hired four people, I think five at that time. 2021, we broke $1 million. And it was literally just being able to take what others had showed me, you know, for their path to success, whether it was in the Navy or entrepreneurs themselves, and doing it because we can hear it. We can read about it, but if we're not going to execute or not do it, then what's the point? Why try fighting it? And I knew if they could do it, I could do it. So we just really went all in on our team, empowered the right people, put them in the right roles and responsibilities for the company. And that helped drive incredible culture because in the Navy, it's not always going to be great, but when you're with the right people, even in the shittiest times, you're still having fun. And that's my biggest motto is like, you have to have fun when you work with us. You need to be safe. The job needs to get done, but you have to have fun. I want you to want to come to work, not feel like you have to come to work. So I needed to be that person that I wanted to work for so that they wanted to work with me as well as for me. So it's just open communication, great culture, and having fun were like the three main success or tools for success for our company to get us where we are at today. Has it been perfect? No, we've had mistakes along the way. I mean, shoot, we just lost a very instrumental person 5 weeks ago during the busiest time of year for us. And it sucked. It really did suck. But, it hurt. I adapted and we've moved on. And, you know, it was kind of a blessing in disguise. It forced me to go back into my company. I learned about things that we weren't doing, I thought we were doing. Culture's up, morale is up. We've got a record-breaking month this month with fewer people than last year. And now we're starting to have fun again.
So it's interesting. And everybody that I talk to, there's a direct correlation between success within the business and success within your personal life. Everybody that I see that go through this, if you're going to have a successful business, there's also this other aspect of your personal development. And you alluded to that, and maybe we can dig in a little bit deeper to this, but one is, yes, you just mentioned, you got to have all of the right culture, the systems, the processes, the things that are going on within the organization, but you also have to have the right leadership, which is what you were talking about as far as within the Navy and that implementing some of those things. So maybe I'll just ask it this way. What are the important things that you do within the business, and what are the important things that you do in your own personal life in order to say, this is how I'm crafting my narrative, this is how I'm writing my future? And yeah, handle it either way you want. I'll leave you an open book there for either of those.
Yeah, no, great question. And you need to be happy with yourself, you know, for you to be showing up and be happy at the office, or else people will see it. I've done a really good job of masking that for years, because some days I don't know what I want to do in life. But fortunately, a year ago, I met an amazing woman that showed me what I needed in life. And that's been the greatest thing that's happened to me since my kids being born. And she just brings out like the life out of me, the happiness. And she pushes me harder to be the best version of myself for me, for her, for our companies, for my kids, her kids. And, you know, it's just great being aligned with somebody. And the energy is just absolutely incredible. Like, we love working out. That's really important to us. Taking care of your fitness or your physical health is wealth, you know, and if you're not healthy, you're not going to be able to show up and be there for your team. So we put, you know, 5 o'clock gym every single day, no matter what. And there's days we don't want to go, but we'll push each other. So that really helps drive and motivate us. And, you know, we share a lot of what we do, and it has helped inspire and motivate other people to just start showing up themselves at the gym, whether it's a walk, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's eating healthier. And, you know, the ripple effect of that is just, it's incredible to hear somebody come back like 3 months later and say, hey, you changed my life. You know, I've seen your post, seeing what you guys are doing. You inspired me, better person. And we're nowhere near perfect, and we'll never claim to be, but we just like to advocate the things that we do for our mental health, the clarity, and taking care of ourselves. And it seems to be doing a really beneficial duty to others to help them realize, hey, you know what? They're right. You know, maybe I was in this hole, or maybe I was misguided, or maybe I just didn't think I could do it. But now I see you're doing it, and I want to do it, and I'm going to do it, and I am doing it. So that's been great, because now, again, I'm happy at home. I'm happy with my kids. I'm happy with life. I go to my work. I'm happy there. I inspire my team to be better, you know, having better communication. I might show up in there and, like, you know, gym clothes again, like working out again. They kind of laugh about it, but I'd rather be doing that than just showing up eating donuts every day and, you know, just setting a bad example for them. So I'm not saying that they need to do exactly what I'm doing, but I want them to see that, hey, you know, part of my success is doing these things. And this is what's going to keep driving us to be better.
If you were to list out those things, because you just mentioned a whole ton of things here, let me just go down through the list and we'll just hit. You're going to tell me what's most important. One is, you said that you're associating basically with the right people. Rephrasing what you're saying, just so we're clear. But you said associating with people. Two is taking care of yourself physically. Three was sharing and communicating. And then four, you talked about mental health and clarity. And then at the end of the day, when you sum all of that stuff up, you basically said, and that's what makes me happy. That's how I show up happy. Is that a formula? Is that an ingredient? Is that something that you ever considered? Or is that was just stuff that was rolling off? And if, like, what are your thoughts on that, on how you just phrased that?
Yeah, it's just stuff I'm rolling off. But, you know, thinking out loud now, Angelo will know that if I don't go to the gym in the morning, like my day is off and I could feel it, you know, whether it's, I was tired, I was sick, like that gym now for the last 14 months is like a necessity for my day to function. So if I don't go to the gym in the morning, 5 o'clock, I've got to get there at some point, or just like the whole day is off. And then the other parts of that though, is the communication with Angela. I mean, we have, our communication is getting better. Not that it was ever bad, but you know, that's probably one of the biggest downfalls in most relationships is communication and within your company. So that right there, you know, that alone is having open communication in the good and the bad moments is really key to success, happiness, and just keep pushing that needle in the right direction.
So as you're looking at this, how would you sum up, this is the narrative that I am now writing, I am crafting for my future, the legacy that I want to leave for my kids? How would you sum up the narrative that you're living right now?
Yeah, you know, so part of that and not part of that, I want to say is I want my kids to have options in life. And I don't ever want to force them to have to go to college. I don't ever force them to be an entrepreneur. And part of my narrative right now is transparency. Whether my life is good or bad, I share it on social media. Not because I want to brag about the good moments or not because I want people to feel bad about during the bad moments. I want people to realize that we're normal and we're going to have highs and we're going to have lows and you're not alone. And I do love sharing when we're family in business. Like just last month, 3 weeks ago, it was horrible. It was the worst week I've had in business in probably 15 years. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And I shared it. And then the very next week, it was the best week I've had in a long time. And I want people to know that you're not on Lonely Island by yourself. So if you're struggling, well, great. Other people are struggling too. And there's a way through that, whether it's communication with your team, your family, your relationship, your tribe. And I want my kids to be able to communicate that as well, too, when they're struggling, whether it's in school, relationship, things like that. And for that fear of being judged, I don't judge people. I don't care, you know, unless you're doing a triple murder homicide or something like that. Like, I'm not going to judge you. We all make mistakes and we need to get through that. So that transparency is the biggest thing that I've had like change over the last 15, 16 months for people to know. We have our podcast in the Foxhole. It's, we talk about the anti-highlight reel. It's too easy to talk about the, you know, brag moments. But what about when we're down? Because people can learn from those mistakes, learn from those failures, learn from those pitfalls, downfalls, whatever you want to call. And I'd be selfish to not share the good and the bad because others can take advantage of that and hopefully learn from it, avoid it, and grow with it.
Yeah. All right. So we're running out of time and I love this conversation. And I love what you just said. That's going to be the highlight reel. So if you're listening, go back and just listen to the last 2 minutes, because that's exactly what this is all about. What's the one thing you want to leave with somebody?
Again, biggest thing I've realized in the last 15 months, actually, no, I'd say the last 2 years, is ask for help. That was the hardest thing for me, because I was an entrepreneur, a business owner, a father, a leader of the Navy, a man.
Yeah,
I always had that fear that asking for help made us weak. And the minute that I let that go and started asking for help, my life changed. It was just, it'd be the stupidest thing that would just eat me alive. And as soon as I talk about it with somebody, I either immediately, like just while talking out loud, have my answer and realize, like, that was silly. Or somebody just talk me off the ledge and find a solution or just bring me back. So being able to ask for help, it might have taken me 41 years to figure that out, but I'm not afraid.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So how can people get in touch with you? You mentioned, there was a couple things you mentioned. One, we know you have a business, you've got a podcast. I know you post a lot of stuff on social about the transparency of life. How can people get in contact with you? And we'll definitely put all that stuff in the notes.
Yeah. Facebook, it's Jared Chinowski. Instagram, it's JC Chinowski. Long story on that, but that's another conversation. Find me on that. I'm always on social. I love talking. I love helping entrepreneurs. I love talking fitness, life, all that stuff, and traveling especially. I'm about to head to Dominican Republic next week and Cancun in a couple of weeks. So I'm really excited to get out and see more of the world. But yeah, if anybody ever has a question, I'd love to talk about anything. I'm an open book.
So they can find your podcast on Facebook or on Instagram, and they can learn more about you. That would be perfect.
Yeah, In the Foxhole is the name of the podcast, but all that stuff's under my profile.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being here. I truly, truly appreciate that transparency. I love that talk about transparency. That's what we're all about, showing the good and the bad, the lows and the highs. And so thank you again for sharing with us.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you.
So for all those that are listening, I say this every week, but I'm going to tell you again, if something touched you, reach out either to myself, reach out to JC, I don't care which, but let us know how we impacted you, because that changes the way it motivates us. It encourages us to keep going on days that are the lows, the days that are the tough ones. So reach out to us. We appreciate that. Until next time, make sure that you're writing and crafting your narrative, because each narrative is just as important. Yours is valuable. You are valuable. Craft that narrative. Thanks for listening to today's show. But before you go, let me ask you a question. How would you like to be the author of your story? Take the next step now at www.narrative.live and enter your details to connect with a community of others just like you that are tired of living under the false narrative. Finding your true story and writing your narrative, it will give you clarity, freedom of your day, and it just might change your life forever.